This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It is 5:13 and you're listening to the Evening Edition with Lynn. And first up this hour, it's pretty much the biggest news of the day, and that is the parliamentary no-confidence motion against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. So, Dewan Rakyat Speaker Tan Sri Muhammad Arif Muhammad Yusof has accepted a motion to table a resolution of no-confidence against the PM, and it was submitted by, surprise, surprise, none other than Langkawi MP and former Prime Minister Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad. So, May 18th is, of course, the date that everybody's been looking at and talking about, and that is when Parliament sits for the first time since the Berikatan National Government was formed. If the motion does see the light of day, it would also be the first time ever that a move like this is taking place in the Dewan Rakyat. Initially, it was meant to be for the 2nd of March, right after the infamous Lanka Sheraton, but that didn't happen as Parliament had been postponed. So we thought, when better than to strike when the iron's hot and to dive right in? So today, we're going to be looking firstly at the legalities of this with a lawyer to understand what this entails and the likelihood of it going through. And after the 5:30 news, we're going to be examining it from a political point of view because, of course, this has tremendous ramifications. So if you'd like to weigh in or if you have any questions on the fact that there is a parliamentary no-confidence motion against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin that has been accepted by the Speaker, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're now crossing over to constitutional lawyer Surendra Anath. Surendra, thank you so much for joining us. So, like I mentioned, we've talked with you about this on the show before, but it would be great if you could give us a quick refresher on what a vote of no confidence entails.
Yeah, so basically, when a prime minister is appointed by the king, he's appointed when the king forms the view that he is the person who is likely to command the majority confidence of the members of the house. So the key word is likely. But the question of whether he actually commands the confidence of the house is in parliament itself. That is when the real test, we'll know for sure whether he does have the numbers. So in this case, a vote of no confidence essentially is a method put forward in a scenario or circumstance usually where it's uncertain whether a prime minister does command the majority confidence of the members of the house. So in this case, I think most of us are unsure whether Muhyiddin as prime minister does command confidence. So the best way to determine this question is through a no confidence motion in the house.
Right, and taking it back to when all this really first began, the Yang di-Pertuan Agong at the time had interviewed MPs and determined that Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin likely commanded majority support. Does that factor in any way into this current situation?
In my view, it does not. Because as I said earlier, I think when the king appoints someone, again, the key word even used in the constitution is the word likely. Unless there was already a vote before that, it would be very difficult, or if it's a clear-cut scenario, I suppose, it would be difficult for the king to actually make that determination with complete 100% certainty. So I think that the most clearest example was what happened in late February. I think for most of us, it was very unclear as to who actually had the numbers because people kept changing sides, jumping here and jumping there. So what the king did in appointing was just a question of likeliness. But it's very different from what's going to happen in a no-confidence vote because this, in my view, would say for certain whether or not the prime minister actually has the numbers.
So now that the motion has been accepted by the speaker, what can we expect to happen next?
Yeah, so I think this part is just a bit unclear because if you look at the speaker's statement as released earlier today, basically in the first few paragraphs, he said that the business for the 18th of May sitting will only be limited to the speech of the king and government business. And then further down that same statement, he goes on to accept the motion put forward by certain ministers, including the no-confidence motion by Tun M. But I think at the last few paragraphs, he said it will be tabled, use the word kelak, and does not specify whether or not that means on the 18th of May or on in July, which is the further sittings of Parliament. So, yes, he has accepted that motion, which means it will be tabled, but the statement doesn't make clear when and which sitting of Parliament will it be tabled.
Sure, and there's another element of uncertainty here, which is, you know, the Speaker at the same time has rejected a motion to retain himself in his position. Can the Speaker be voted out when Parliament reconvenes, and how might that happen?
Yes, on this point, there has been a difference of opinion, I think, among lawyers as to how you can remove the Speaker from the House. But I think that the more accepted and popular view is that the House chooses its Speaker. So, like the new government comes in, they are entitled to put forward a new Speaker, to propose a new name. But at the end of the day, I think it's the majority of the House that will have to decide on whether or not to accept the proposal of a new Speaker. So, in short, yes, the Speaker can be removed or replaced, but it has to be done through a vote in the House itself.
And could that vote happen right away when Parliament sits? What will that process be like?
So I suppose it can happen in one of two ways. One member could put a motion to remove the Speaker, but that would not make much sense. What will most likely happen is if the government puts a motion to recommend a name to replace the Speaker and the Deputy Speakers. So once that motion is put through, then obviously the current Speaker will have to put that motion as part of the order of business for the sitting, and he will then have to allow that motion to be tabled in Parliament. As to when that motion will be tabled among the other businesses in the order, I'm not entirely sure, but if it's a government motion, it will always take precedence over other businesses, and a government minister can at any time during the Parliament sitting just stand up and say, look, I propose that this particular motion on the Speaker be heard now or first before any other business. So, I mean, if the government has the numbers, they can easily get this motion through very quickly if they chose to put it forward.
And in the event that the current Speaker is replaced, what will happen to the motions that have been approved? Might they end up becoming moot?
Well, I suppose whatever has been approved or rejected, then nothing would be affected. But presuming if the Speaker is replaced, then I would think as a matter of logic, I can't really recall if the standing order does provide for a specific procedure, but I think as a matter of logic, then the sitting will most probably have to be suspended temporarily for the new Speaker to take office properly and then to decide whether or not still to follow the same order of business as was previously put on the order paper.
And another thing around which there has been a lot of debate is the reconvening of Parliament itself, and specifically how long it should sit for. How do these considerations affect the ongoing developments that we're seeing?
So I think it's clear that the leader of the House, the Prime Minister, has advised or instructed that Parliament sit for a day in the manner that we saw in the 17 April notice. I'm not sure if the sittings in July have been confirmed, the dates have been confirmed. But that looks like what things will be over the next few months. But the question of whether or not it's constitutional for the leader of the House, the Prime Minister, to instruct that the House only sit for one day in the manner he did, that's an entirely different issue. So I think in my view, it's not in line with the Constitution, because basically what he's saying is, look, you sit for one day, it's only limited to the speech of the King. Everything else is not allowed. MPs can't ask questions. They can't put in private motions. They can't put in bills. Personally, I don't think it's for the government to dictate how Parliament should operate in terms of the timing and the business. That's for the House to decide within itself. And it's also going to be seen as a form of interfering with parliamentary democracy, because that's the forum where it acts as a check and balance on the government action, especially in this COVID-19 pandemic. A lot of other countries, Parliament continues to sit. They're using teleconferencing equipment to continue its sittings. So I don't think the COVID-19 is a valid reason to just have a one-day sitting.
And I guess technically, how many days of Parliament sitting would it take to table a motion of no confidence? Would it be feasible to do it in a single day?
I mean, it could be very quick because in the usual course, the person proposing the motion will just make a short statement on the basis of this motion and why he's proposing it. Then it's up to the Speaker, obviously, whether or not to allow for a debate to take place on that motion. Again, it's up to the Speaker to control the timing of that debate and how long people get to speak. So if the Speaker so wishes, then that motion could go through very quickly and can be put for a vote very quickly. The voting itself shouldn't take long. So once the voting is concluded, and then that's really the end of it. So it really is, I think, up to the Speaker on how long this motion should take.
Surendra, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was constitutional lawyer Surendra Anath taking us through the ins and outs and the technicalities of a no-confidence vote, as well as the constitutionality, really, of Parliament reconvening for a single day's sitting. If you have any questions, if you have any comments on this, you can call 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio. We're talking about the parliamentary no-confidence motion against Prime Minister Tan Sri Muhyiddin Yassin. After the 5:30 news, we'll be speaking with James Chai, who is the head of commercial and research at Invoke Solutions, to talk about the political ramifications of this. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my. BFM 89.9, the business station.